person in charge was called Master Smythe. He was a handsome, strong fellow with black hair and a black goatee and neatly shaved other than that. Apparently, he has a romantic interest with a young woman who came in who was a bard lady. She had a lute on her back and light armor and was blonde. And you did not get introduced to her. The woman you saved, her name was Ophelia, and she was in the basement. And Master Smythe and the bard lady left you upstairs to contact back Ogrotha, which you did. And the advice that you received from him was basically that you might be on to something and that you could pursue it and see if there was major good to be done, because those who slice people's throat from behind and use poison would generally be considered evil. And so thwarting their plans, whatever they might be, resisting them basically would be a good thing. And so he said go ahead. However, he also warned you that it's not uncommon in matters of guild intrigue and politics to lose sight of who is good. And so if you get in there and you can't really figure out who the good people are, then you are supposed to just bail and get away from them, etc. He also suggested that you find a way to send some kind of a message back to the retreat, to the royal retreat, to let them know that you were not going to be making it home for the night, and you did not have an easy means by which to do that. And that had not been accomplished. Okay.
But if it's like we can't figure out who the good guys are, if we run away, they're going to be after us, because they'll be like good of us, and we know a lot.
Yep, that would be a problem. Okay. They did decide also that they were not going to try to erase your memory, because they needed you in case something happened to Ophelia, the lady that you saved. She was unconscious again, and basically if they could not save her or whatever, yours is the only recollection of knowing who was the one that betrayed them. So the guy that you saw with the crossbow, the only lead you had, pretty much. There's one more thing. What was the other thing? Okay, they did refer to the fact, he said, he made a reference that there were others in the basement that you had not met. So you know that there was a mage named Quint. He mentioned the mage. He was the guy who normally would blank your memory. The bard lady, who never got her name, and Smythe, and then Ophelia, who was the name of the lady that you saved.
And the one person came into the bar.
Yeah, the security guard, Claude, but he's not part of the guild, apparently, because he didn't even know they were there.
Kind of what you get is that Smythe maybe lives here or owns the mansion or is somehow in charge or part of the ruling family or something, because he was able to send Claude away. Claude was a security guard. He just basically told him to go back to his rounds. Okay? Okay. So when we pick up, the scene has advanced somewhat. Just for reference, so you know, you had not, by the time that we, as we were picking up, you had not found a way yet to send a message back that you were out overnight. It is the three of you.
Overnight, I'm going to need to regenerate my spells.
Okay, it's time for me, okay?
So
we have not done so yet.
Could somebody... They wouldn't let us back in where the gates are closed.
They will... The problem is you cannot get out of the city. If you were at the retreat, they probably would let you in because they would recognize you. But if the city, when the gates close at dusk, you don't have a way to... get the gates back open. So, like, unless you're crawling over the wall, something like that, which is illegal.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. Anyway, as we're picking up, you see it's a dark, shadowy street, cobblestone, 2- and 3-story buildings on both sides of the street, and the street's about 50 foot wide. It is raining lightly, so did a bit of a drizzle. The sky is dark gray, and all along the edges of the buildings and the alleyways and stuff is covered with fog, which, you know, is not uncommon in southern Muskoka. On the corners, there are poles that have lanterns in them, like light poles, basically, and they are lit. But they're creating a kind of a yellow glow ball around them in the fog, and if you're up close to them, you can see, but everywhere else, it just looks like there's fog and covering all the parts of the, like, where you could normally hide, and then, the visibility is not good down the street. Okay. The carriage rolls to a stop. The door of the carriage opens, and a doorman from the building that the carriage is approaching steps up and holds the door open. Master Smythe steps out of the carriage, followed by the bard, whose name by now you have learned is Petrie, and then Rosie, then Selena, then Dan, and then another gentleman who you've met in the in-between, they simply call him Black. And he does, Black wears plate mail armor, has a shield on his back and a long sword, and he has a full helm that he doesn't wear unless he's in combat where he's carrying it. Okay? And you leave and cross the rainy street and into the foyer of a large building. This building is kind of old Gothic style, so it's got high ceilings, shiny walls, like metal on the walls. There are lanterns lit outside, but again, the light only goes in the area right around the front, and there's fog pretty much everywhere else. Inside, you can hear conversation, raised voices. Okay, you know that the reason you are going here is because twofold. So one, Quint the Wizard is supposed to be here, and he is a member of the guild, of Master Spies Guild. And you are looking to make contact with him for two reasons. One, to find out whether or not he can help figure out who the betrayal was, like who the betrayer is. Generally the guild wants to seal up their problem, basically. And then second reason is because he may be in danger. Because if he does not know about the betrayal, and he's here on his own with maybe a couple of servants or whatever, and so he could be in danger himself. And so as soon as they realized that he was here, they said, okay, we need to go there right away, get in contact with him, get him out. He might be able to help us, plus we don't want to see something happen to him, okay? So you move through a hallway that's wide enough to walk double, but there are people going in the other direction, so you're walking single file. Smythe is walking forward with purpose, as is everybody in your little group. If you lag behind, then Black kind of pushes you from behind. You go down this hallway, high-ceilinged hallway, 20 feet high, lanterns above, a little black soot on the ceiling, to a set of double doors on the left, and a doorman opens the doors, and Smythe walks in. At that point, you're stepping into a large room. The room is like 40 by 60, and it's full of people. Most people have coats or capes or cloaks or that kind of thing on, as if they have come here tonight in the rain. The room is humid. There's a lot of moisture in the room, but there's no fog, obviously. There is a chandelier hanging up over the top of the room, a 20-foot high ceiling, 15-foot high chandelier, and the chandelier has candles on it, and all the candles are lit. So the room is lit. There are also lanterns around the outside. In the room, there's a lot of conversation going on. And you immediately realize what's happening basically is they're doing business. They're trading commodities or something. Now, the vast majority of the business is being done in the merchant tongue, which you encountered before. You heard a little bit of it before in last session. But you pretty much don't understand what they're saying. So they substitute clicks and hand gestures and even a moaning sound here or there, or use words that are words, but the way they're emphasizing them make them almost sound like not words. Like, you hear a guy say sugar, but instead of saying sugar, he says sugar, right? And things like that. And so it's really hard for you to understand what they're doing. But there's a round desk in the center under the chandelier, and it appears like there are business deals being conducted all over the room, probably 15 or 20 of them. And then people leave those deals and they go to that center table and they have a clipboard. And on the clipboard, they've written down some notes and then they turn the clipboard in at the center table. And the people at the center table are basically recording the notes and keeping track of everything. Okay. Smythe turns around at that point. Petrie steps to his side. And then that brings up Rosie, Selena, and Dan in that order. And he says, stay close to me. Don't bump into anyone. Don't talk to anyone. Just stay close to me. We'll find Quint. We'll get out of here. Okay. And so he begins to weave his way in between the rooms, and you hear like a trade going on, talking next to you. Hear somebody calling out across the room, and a man says, "Click three chukar, click three chukar," and he's waving a clipboard in the air. And as he does that, a couple of men leave two other groups and flock with him, and so now there are three of them there, all having a little conversation. And at the same time, one of the men in the other group that he was in took another opportunity to slip over to another group and see if people are moving around. It's very active, but again, they're pretty dressed for outside, like they have cloaks and capes on. The floor is damp in a lot of places, that kind of thing. So he weaves through the room, and it continues on around you. At which point in time, once you get out into the room, you notice that there is a balcony that overlooks the whole room. There are no stairs leading up to it, so you must get up there from another place. And on that balcony, there are people standing as well, watching what's going on down below. And they're dressed similarly. And so they're 10 feet above, and their heads are like near, going near the ceiling of the room. And so total in this 40 by 60 room on the floor and on the balcony, there are probably 80 people. It's very busy. There's quite a bit of odor. There's body odor, moistness and dampness from outside, the smell of various flowered perfumes and colognes that people are wearing, the smell of the lanterns burning, which is kind of a black, kind of a dark, acidic smell.
There's ladies in the room too.
Yep, mixed men and women. Yep, but no young people. I take it back. There's one. You see one kid cross the room on the other side.
What order is it? Like, is Selena, Rosie, then me?
It's Rosie,
coming in the door was
you.
Rosie, Selena, you. But now that you're kind of in here, you don't necessarily have to stay in a single file line. There are bigger spaces where you can kind of walk as a mob, basically. But Smythe is definitely leading the way, and Black is definitely bringing up the rear. Okay? Neither of them have weapons in hand. And you notice that Petrie is cautiously guiding her loot as she's walking through the crowd so as not to bump anybody with it. But the body of it's this big, and with the head on it's about that long, and it's on her back. And she's only like 5'2", so it's pretty big. Anyway, as you are picking your way through the crowd,
where is Petrie standing as we walk in a line?
She's following Smythe. So you're following her, really. Okay. By now, probably because you rode in the carriage, you do realize that she smells faintly of a flower which you would not recognize, but you might.
What flower is it?
Roll a d20.
Does this look?
Yes.
What is it?
Suspicious.
Random number generator.
15.
And your wisdom is what?
17.
Didn't you give me one that? But it's like a sword.
Yeah, probably.
I might have it actually.
Okay, anyway, she has, she wears the scent of lilacs. Okay. Lilacs only scent in the spring, and sometimes if they rebloom in the fall, pretty rare scent.
But is it spring right now?
It is fall right now.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But in any case, it's probably a spray or something. A perfume that she got. Okay, anyway. So just about at about the center of the room, Smythe spots somebody, whether it's Quint or somebody who might know where he is, and is working his way to the opposite side of the room. Like he kind of meandered out, sort of paused, looked around, and then now spots somebody and is heading directly to the other side. And you can see that there is a set of double doors in the center on that side, and one of those double doors is open, just sitting open. And then there's a crowd of people standing in front there, and they do not appear to be doing business. Like they're not making a trade, they're just talking. Okay? And as he's moving toward that, I need both of you to roll a d20.
This rocks, right? It's not combat?
Sorry.
11.
Okay. So both of you notice the man who fired the crossbow bolt at you in the street standing on the balcony above, back on the wall that you came from. All
right.
So when you first walked in, you wouldn't have seen him, but now that you're over there. Okay. So
I turn around and kind of give a look to Dan, like I look at him and look over to the guy.
And Rosie sees him as well.
I know. I'm supposed to be quiet.
I go, the guy who shot the crossbow is up there. Turn.
Okay, he turns and looks. Okay, as he's looking, the guy apparently sees that you're pointing him out, and he ducks back into the crowd on the balcony as if to try to get away. Interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign? Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095. Petrie. She stops and steps aside, and Rosie follows up on Smythe for a second, and then Black. The man that they saw shoot, he just fled up the balcony to the west side. She thinks for all of about 2 seconds and then says, I will pursue him. And then she looks at Selena and she says, You come with me.
What?
I just gave like a little nod and follow.
Be safe,
man. We must move quickly. Okay, so she turns and real quick is moving back across the room. Not quite running, but very quickly striding. Matilda, you probably have to jog to keep up with her, basically. You slip back out the door that you came in. Okay. Meanwhile, Smythe approaches the crowd in front of him, with Rosie right behind, yourself, and Black coming up behind you. And Black does say, you're not looking at him, but he's talking to you from behind as you're walking. And he says, well done. Good to be aware of your surroundings.
As I walk through, I am making sure, like, my staff is on my back, my fighting staff, so I brought my black staff, because I always have them both with me, but I brought my black staff, and then it's on my back, and I'm being aware of it so I don't bump into anyone as I walk, and then I'm also aware and ready to pull it out for defense.
Okay.
So, like, I have my hand in the position it would need to be.
Yep. Okay. So, your little group steps up to the crowd. You see a fellow on the other side of the crowd. His back is toward the door. And he's maybe late teens. Looks like a human. He has curly red hair and freckles. Mm-hmm. Kind of a roundish face. And he's wearing a black silk or satin, some kind of shiny cloth oval on top of his head, kind of mashes the head of his, the middle of his hair down, but the hair around the outside is still curly and sticking out. And he's wearing robes, dark bluish, they don't look wet. And then he has a cape, it's a white cape. That's around his neck and hangs off his shoulders. Right now, the cape is mostly pushed back so you can see his shoulders, but you think if he was outside, he could probably pull it over for protection. And it looks to be made of some kind of a slick leather type substance, okay? And as you step up, he sees Smythe, and then he steps to the side, and you see he has like a quizzical look on his face, like, is there something I need to know or whatever? And you think Smythe kind of like flipped him a hand signal or something. And then he steps back into the group and you hear him in common, normal language, making his apologies and saying he's going to need to step away for a moment and so on. Meanwhile, Smythe, so the group of men are standing there. He's here with his back to the door. And Smythe veers off from the group and heads this way. And Rosie is following him. And Black is following you, okay? Need you to make a d20 roll.
9.
Okay. So as you're... Are you following Rosie then? Okay. As you're starting to head that way, you see people are kind of streaming in and out that door that's open behind him. And 3 or 4 people go out the door and step into the hallway, and they kind of go to the right. And then a couple people step in the door. And you see a guy who's basically going to be stepping right up behind Quint. And you catch a glint of metal in his hand as if he's moving... possibly toward stabbing Quint. What do you do?
So is Quint in front of me or behind me?
He's in front of you. Okay, so here's the group of people. Quint is here. You're moving this way toward the group, and now you've just diverted. Smythe and Rosie have gone this way. So you're basically approaching the group, preparing to go that way after them, but you haven't done so yet, and you realize Quint may be getting about ready to
start. I will run over to Quint and I will draw my sword.
Okay, so it'll take a long time to draw your sword, but presumably you could have your shield on your arm already.
Shield.
Yeah, so you're going to stand in front of him and block with your shield. Do you have a dagger?
I have a dagger.
Okay, daggers are a lot faster.
I'll pull my dagger out.
All right.
I have a dagger and short sword.
Roll a d6.
On me.
Okay, so neither you nor the person you're trying to disrupt are surprised. So now roll for initiative. You know, higher is better.
6.
Okay.
No, it's 5, sorry.
5. And then what is your dex bonus if you have one?
I don't think I have one.
Quint's going to be like, I welcome
someone. No, I don't. I don't have a single bonus.
Okay.
My dex, though, is a 15.
Right. So you don't get a bonus until 16. So someday.
Someday, hopefully.
Yep. All right.
I also am 20.
All right. So you step in between him, and he was already moving to attack. And you were correct. You weren't sure until this exact second, but he definitely does have a long, thin-bladed dagger, and he was moving to attack Quint. When you step in, your back and your butt kind of bump Quint, and he spins to see what's going on, and he kind of I think he kind of said something harsh to you, but you didn't really pay attention because your heart's pounding in your ears and you're focused on what's happening. Okay. He strikes with the dagger.
Shield.
Your strength bonus, so your shield is 1. Do you have a magic shield? No?
No.
And do you have a strength? What is your strength bonus? What is your strength?
15.
1590. Okay, so what? No bonus. So you get. So he gets minus 1 to hit. Okay. So the
I have a magic dagger, though.
The dagger is pushed aside by the shield because he was kind of surprised, not technically surprised, but not aware that you were coming. And so you stepped in between him. Now you're face-to-face with a would-be assailant. So what you see before you is a man probably in his early 20s. He's thin, super thin, like almost not healthy thin. He's probably like 90 pounds at 5'5", really thin. And he's wearing a robe. He's wearing a robe, and he has a thin dirk. The dagger is probably 12 inches long from the hilt to the tip of the blade. Roll another d20 for me real quick.
What does Blackout see? That's my question.
His name is Black, not Blackout. Oh, you've been saying that. He hasn't acted yet. Okay.
17.
All right. Okay. Black. So he is obviously aware of your presence. You have rolled a 5 on initiative. And so you're drawing your dagger. So you can't actually attack with your dagger until the end of the round. So he's going to attack again. And obviously you're going to shield parry.
Happening at the moment?
He's just become aware, yes.
Now, because I jumped in front of him.
Right, okay. Okay, so you again turn the blade to the side. This time he slashes kind of to the left, and you turn sideways and hit it that way, and so the blade goes past you to the left. There is a 1 in 8 chance that someone steps into it.
Oops.
In a crowded room. Great. Okay.
Not my fault.
Okay, so...
No, but the man, I forgot what his name was. The one you were following is going to be about this.
Smythe?
Smythe.
Okay.
He's not even here.
So another merchant, it's an older gentleman, probably looks like he's in his late 40s, early 50s, kind of round in the middle, bald on top, wearing a cape. A full cloak over him. And he was talking to somebody over his shoulder, and he steps in just at that moment, and the guy that you're fighting stabs the dagger into his thigh.
I need to get over this. So Selena can use her last spell, which is a healing, a minor heal on him.
Okay, you may need that elsewhere. So you're currently not even aware this is happening. So.
Nope.
Okay, so the merchant gasps, immediately falls to the floor, and when his head hits the floor, he opens his mouth and, like, basically chunks of whatever he had for dinner spews out on the floor, and you can tell he's dead. And so you realize that the dagger must be severely poisoned. Okay? At which point in time, it's now the end of the round, and you can attack.
Yay.
It's the same one who did it. So they didn't put poison in after slicing. They just sliced with the knife.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Okay, so you rolled 11. No, 14.
Yes.
Okay, 14.
It looks like 11, but I went to 14.
Okay, so that is it.
The dagger's a...
Dagger's a d4.
Okay.
And then it's plus 2. That's a d6. You have d4, the pointy ones. Yep. And then it's plus 2, you said?
Yeah.
So you get 3. Plus 2 is 5. Plus 1 for strength is 6. Right? You plus 1 strength? What is your strength?
1591.
Oh, you get plus 1 at 16. You're almost there.
1591.
Maybe next time you get experience. Okay. So, total of 5. All right. So, you slash him. So, he steps back, and you realize he's wearing, like, a leather vest under his cloak. And when he steps back, his cloak flops open. And the dagger slice goes across his vest, pops one button, and you immediately see a crease of blood. He's shocked, like, that he's hurt at this point. He was not expecting this at all. And he lets out a gasp.
That's what you get.
You deserve this. This is a magic dagger. I have no idea what it is.
Calma.
Dennis never used his dagger. He's used the magic short sword. Not his dagger.
Okay. All right, so rolling initiative.
Yes. Okay. A 3.
Okay.
So he's surprised that he got hurt.
Yeah. All right. So Black acts first this round.
Oh.
And what happens is basically the guy's looking at you, and he does with his left hand, kind of put his hand to his stomach. He still has the dirk in his right hand. And then all of a sudden you just see this mound of black armor pile on top of him and drive him out the door. So he basically goes, and he drives him out the door.
So magic.
As he goes out, no, he's just him.
Him?
Yep. And so he's holding the guy and rushes him out the door. And at the same time, he hits the door that's closed with his shoulder. And you see it kind of like shudder and splinter and wood splinters fly from the door jamb as the two of them are out into the hallway. Okay? So that was Black's initiative. Then you're next.
Okay.
What do you do?
I'm assuming I'll have to run out there.
If you're going to hit him.
I would... the guy on the ground is dead, right? Nope, for sure.
That's what it looks like.
I'll check on him.
He does have healing, though.
Kneel down and check his pulse or whatever. Okay, roll a d20.
If he's alive... Okay. 13.
Okay, and what is your wisdom?
Wisdom 13.
Okay. So yes, you're pretty sure he's dead.
Oh.
Okay. So meanwhile, behind you, kind of like out of the corner of your eye, you see one of the doormen. Remember, there were doormen around. They actually steps up and closes the door.
Why?
And it appears as if like only the people right here even know that something has happened. The other doorman is coming over to next to you, and he says, "Is he dead?"
Yes, for sure.
Okay. He motions, and two more doormen come, and the three of them are picking up the dead body. Well, two of them are picking up the dead body to carry him out into the hallway, and one of them is cleaning up the mess on the floor.
I was attempting to get somebody else killed. This isn't my fault, is it?
Are you saying that out loud?
Yeah.
Okay. Smythe puts his hand on your shoulder and says, "No, not your fault."
I was trying to protect him.
All right. Quint says, "You'll save me." And then Smythe says, "That's what we're coming to tell you about. The guild's under attack. We need to get out of here. And now."
Can we go get Slim and Petrie?
We will. Quint says, "I'll meet you in the carriage."
Okay.
Smythe says, "We'll check on the ladies. Let's go."
Okay.
All right. So you and Rosie and Smythe, Rosie a little chafing at the going to check on the ladies thing because she is a lady, but she'll get over it. Anyway, your little group is headed back across the busy room. You know, it's kind of bizarre.
What's chafing me?
Irritated, like upset a little bit.
Because they're ignoring that there.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
I will keep my sword going. Because something has happened.
Your dagger down?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. That's what I will say. Conceal that.
Okay, I'll hold that. Okay. My shield is still in my hand, though. I have nowhere to tell.
Yeah. You can carry it on your back, which is less aggressive, but then...
If someone jumps out of nowhere, I'm going to have the shield.
All right, anyway, so when you left the room, you went out into the hallway. To the left, down the hallway, so the opposite direction of the front door, you came in through the front door and then turned left to go in that room. You turn left down the hallway, and there are a couple of people standing around the hallway talking and like that. But to the left is a staircase. In the middle of the staircase is a red runner that spans partway across the stairs and goes up.
What's a runner?
Carpeting. Okay. And Petrie takes the stairs like three at a time, bounding up the stairs. She has one hand behind her with her hand on her loot, and otherwise she's running full speed up the stairs. What do you do?
She hears them.
Run behind
them.
Okay. Like being extremely... away and watching at my surroundings, and
I have
watching the guy and whatever, and I have.
Yeah, you can't see the guy at the moment. He ducked out of view in the other room, but he should have been up there. So.
As I'm, are there handrails on the side of the stairs wrong?
Yes.
Which side is it on, right or left?
It's to the right.
So I'll
there's not one on the wall.
I'll pull my staff out with my left, and then I'll. Hold the handlebars with my right as I go up to make sure I don't fall.
Okay. Are you carrying both staffs, or is the other one like on your horse or in the carriage or whatever?
My brown staff is back with my horse.
Okay.
My black staff. All right.
So you swing your staff in your left hand while you're running up, and you're bracing yourself on the railing. Make a dex check. You're a d20 low.
Don't fall.
That's not very low. 10.
That's fine.
It's like
okay, so you bound up the stairs after her. You're not able to take them quite as many at a time because your legs are shorter than hers, but not a lot. And both of you are fairly dexterous, fairly quick moving. So you're just maybe a step and a half behind her when you reach the top of the stairs. What you see is a narrow room, and on the left, there are archways that lead out onto that balcony that you saw from the other side. Okay, so you can see people all over the balcony, and then there are people standing around this room. And as she reaches the top of the stairs, there's people moving around, but she doesn't immediately track on anybody. Like, she doesn't go after anybody right away. But when you reach the top of the stairs behind her, you see across this little room, which is about like 10 by 15, on the back corner, there's a hallway that leads out to the right. And you see that he is standing at that hallway looking toward the stairs. And then as she appears at the top of the stairs, he doesn't immediately react. But when you come to the top of the stairs, he ducks back in the hallway and disappears. It's pretty clear that she didn't see him. What do you do?
I call out, like, Petrie! Like, loud enough for her to hear me, but not super loud.
Okay.
And then I stop.
Okay.
Like, right in front of where I saw him.
Where you saw it, so you're going to cross the room to where he disappeared. You came up the stairs, you're at the top of the steps, you saw him 15 feet away over there.
I stopped facing it.
Okay. Okay. All right, she looks, but obviously he's gone. She says, what?
There! And I point to where I saw
the hallway. Okay.
And then I tell her that, like, where he went through.
Okay, just speak in character instead of telling me, you tell her. It's a role-playing game.
I forgot.
Let's see. I'm just telling you because it'll speed things up.
No, I forgot where he went and the description of where he went.
That's okay. You just say he went that way and point, right? So it's fine. But I'm just saying, instead of saying I tell her, just say what you say because it's a role playing game.
Yeah.
Okay. So then she turns and runs toward that hallway and she says, come on.
I follow behind her.
Okay. As she's running, you see that she drops something small into her hand, and it does have a bit of a metal glint to it. She's crossing the room. A couple of guys get out of the way. Another guy tries to get out of the way and actually gets in the way, and then you manage to cross the room, and you're at the little hallway. You can see that it runs back into the building, and there are lamps on either side, and it is wide enough for barely, like, single file, maybe 4 feet wide at the most. And there is a beautiful woven carpet that goes down the hallway. You do not see him. She runs down that hallway. It's like 20 feet. At the end of which, and you're passing a couple of doors, at the end of which you can look to the right or to the left. And she stops. She skids to a stop there, looks right, and then turns left. Okay? And you're racing up behind her. You're maybe like about a step or two behind her. And
I look where she runs, and then real quickly turn my head to look right to make sure I didn't see anything down there.
Okay. Okay.
Like, I take a good glimpse where she runs.
So when you look where she runs, she's starting down another shorter hallway. This one's about, like, 15 feet long. And at the end of it, there is a door, and the door is open, and you can see light behind it. And the light has a kind of an odd greenish tint to it, like, unlike a lantern light. Okay? And that's the direction she's going. You do not see him at all. You look to the right, and you see there is a man and a woman there. And the woman appears to be maybe a little sultry, like she's kind of dressed in not enough clothing and she's wearing a lot of makeup and like that. And she's leaning on the guy's arm, and they're laughing at each other. And so it kind of gives you the idea, like, she's a lady of the night or something like that. But anyway, it's clear that it would have been hard for him to run down that hallway, because the two of them are blocking the hall. So that's why she went the other way.
And the man is not the one I'm looking for.
Correct.
Okay, so I follow her.
Okay, so you chase after her. She slams the door open, okay? When you come out onto a balcony that's only about 3 feet wide, narrow, has a railing on the left, but it's not a wall, it's just a railing with occasional poles supporting it. And what you see is a greenhouse. You know what a greenhouse is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a big green glass dome of glass, metal supports. You see it's pretty intricate iron work, pretty high technology, and there are plants growing everywhere. The balcony goes all the way down the edge, but about halfway down, it goes about 40 feet, but about 20 feet down, there is a metal staircase that leads down to the floor of the greenhouse, and you can see all the way to the other end, and he's not on it. She rushes to the balcony and she's looking down below to see if she can see him. If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends. There is movement down below. Do you go up next to her? Okay. You look down and
there's
see...
There's nowhere else to look, right? besides where she's looking?
So there's this balcony, and you see there's another balcony on the other side, and there's a catwalk that goes across between the two balconies a little ways past the stairs. And there are people standing on the balconies.
I'll try my best to scan those parts where she scans at the bottom. And then okay. I'll look back down at the bottom and find that.
All right. Roll a d20.
14.
Okay. So you scan the top. You do not see him. However, you do see something that's a little bit out of place. On both sides of the greenhouse, there are windows. The windows are rectangular, and they arch in slightly at the top. And you can see they have, like, metal hinges that are pretty long, like a foot long, that stick out from the wall. And so they're probably designed to either hinge out or outward on a rotate in the summer when it's warm outside to let air in, right? And all the ones on this balcony are closed. And it's slightly raining outside, and you can hear that constant rain sound as it's pattering on the glass, etc. And you can see little bits of rivulets traveling down in different places and so on. But you notice that on the opposite side, across that catwalk, so goes there's a staircase that goes down, then there's the catwalk, and just past the catwalk, there's one of those windows that's open. And there's nobody right around that area. Directly, the closest person is about 15, 20 feet away, up past the stairs. There's nobody on that whole back section from the catwalk all the way to the far end. And but you don't see him. You don't see any other trouble up here. Then you step up next to her and look down. She's looking down. You're looking down. And you're scanning. And there's 8 or 10 people in the greenhouse on the floor in amongst plants. You see a woman with a white hat that's kind of frumpy, like sticks up like a balloon a little bit, and she is sniffing flowers. You see a man who's wearing a heavy leather schmuck, and he's actually sniffing, like trimming a little bit of green off of some kind of a plant that's small, like a tree, but it's small. You see a guy with a wheelbarrow who's actually rolling a wheelbarrow out the end door.
Quick question. Are any of the flowers lilacs? Curious.
Probably, but I mean, you haven't located them at that particular juncture. Like right that second, you don't see them. In any case, you do see a man at that moment, like you see him from behind, step out the door on the bottom floor in front of where the guy's going with the wheelbarrow. And Petrie says, "There!" And she points to that guy, and he's outside, and she's ready to charge down the stairs in that direction, but you know it's not him. Like, you saw the guy from behind, and you realize it's not him. What do you do?
Wait, I don't think that's him.
She skids to a stop at the top of the stairs. What? And she leans over the rail again, looking. Did we lose him?
I'm not sure.
She's breathing kind of heavy, bigger than running. Where could he have gone?
I don't know.
I don't see him.
I see an open window. None of the other ones are open, but down there, that window's open.
Okay. She says, what? And she looks, I assume you point to it, and she looks, yes, and she charges to the catwalk to cross over to that side.
I follow.
Okay. You cross over to that side, you go down the 15 feet to where the open window is, and you look out, and the two of you are standing side by side, because the window's only like this wide, and you're looking out, and you see that from where you're looking, the glass slopes down to the ground, and it's actually on a second story, so you're like 3 stories up in this part at this point in the greenhouse because it's built on the top of the back story of the building. And you can see there's a narrow ledge, and then at the end of it, there's a corner, and where the corner is, there's a rain trough, like a ceramic pipe that runs from the ceiling to the ground, and you can see that he's on the pipe almost to the ground. And both of you spot him right away. Okay, she goes out the window.
Okay, as soon as she gets out,
she has a little trouble with her loot.
If there's anything I can do to help get it through quicker, I'll do that.
Yeah, you just tap the head where it's catching on it. She goes, thanks! And then she turns and heads off.
Yep,
now, realize you're going to be running along a roughly 10-inch wide ledge 2 stories off the ground. Are you going to follow her?
Okay. I'm not going to go quite as fast as her.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to keep safe.
I mean, if you fall, you're not going to die.
I would see it.
He's just, all of a sudden, while he is shield parrying,
No, because I went back to the carriage, so all of a sudden I'll just see Artemis.
No, you were going to figure out where they went. That's where Smythe and you and Rosie went to figure out where they went. Remember?
No,
you said go check on the ladies.
Rosie's went back with Quinn.
She did not.
You told us to go back. He told us to go back.
Quinn said he's going to the carriage. Smythe said we're going to go check on the ladies. By now you've gone out in the hallway and you're asking around, did you see some women come running through here? Oh yeah, they went upstairs. Okay, now you're at the top of the stairs. Did you see some women? Yeah, so you're following the trail, but you're not there.
If I start falling and Rosie sees it, why doesn't she just make a mattress like she did for herself in the head? make another mattress.
She might, if she's there to do that.
But she's not.
Okay, anyway, she's out onto the ledge, and she is quite adept at narrow surfaces, at heights and whatever. And so she basically, even though it's only like 10 inches wide, she runs along it as if she's running on a bridge or down a hallway. And she's got the loot almost completely on her left side, so it stays away from the wall, and she's running along it as if it were perfectly wide. You know you can't do that.
How wide is 10 inches for sure? Like a beam. It's like the width of a beam.
Yes, beams are 6 inches, I think. 6 or 8.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Well, we should look that up. All right, anyway, so you go after her, I presume, and you need to make a dex check. If you fail the dex check, you fall. How a dex check is made.
I am going a bit slower, mind you. 10.
Okay. So you move along it fairly quickly. You find it not terribly hard because you're not that wide. So that's actually helpful to you. All right. And as you're running along, you see that he has reached the ground and is turning right out into whatever that street is down there. So he's like disappearing out of view.
4 inches.
Counts me as 4 inches. There you go.
He's going down that street. And I point. If she can see me. But I point.
Okay. So she reaches the corner, and then she turns the corner, and then it looks from your point of view as if she leaps from the ledge down into the street. And she just kind of goes down into the street. Okay.
Just like the guy did with, like, just
And
like
she has the head of the loot in her left hand as she goes down. All right. You arrive at the corner in time to see what looks to be an albatross. You know what an albatross is? It's a big, wide-winged bird, basically.
Rideable?
Animal friendly.
Maybe by somebody really small.
Animal friendly.
Anyway, you can look it up later. The point is, and the albatross swoops down onto the street and strikes the fleeing man, and then both the albatross and the man smash into a parked wagon that's on the other side of the street, and there is a pretty loud crunching noise, almost like an explosion.
Ouchies. And then I can bite it, because I have...
It might be hers.
All right. So you're now standing at the corner. You're about 50 feet from them. You do see a couple of individuals in the alley who are paying attention to them. You don't see Petrie anywhere. You see the large bird. And the bird basically backs off and kind of looks dazed. And
she is the bird.
Trying to kind of get aware of its surroundings. Meanwhile... the man that she had driven into the wagon is conscious, and he's crawling under the wagon to try to get away still. So what do you do?
He's going under the wagon, and I keep running.
Okay, so you're on the ledge on this side. The wagon is on the opposite side of the alley. So you can do several things. You could follow the ledge along on this side, which would still, the closest you'd be able to get would be about 25 feet away on the second story, and he's on the ground. Or you can go down the rain trough, or if you have some other means, you could get down.
Okay.
You do notice as you go down the rain trough that parked in the alley, it's on the other side of the alley, but the alley is only like 15 feet wide. There is a cart full of straw.
Oh,
So in theory, you could jump from the ledge into the cart full of straw without being harmed.
Someone's in there.
Doesn't look like there's anyone in there.
I'll jump in there.
Okay, dex check.
Someone's in there.
And you take a couple quick steps and then push off the ledge and launch yourself toward the cart.
Don't miss.
Okay. You land in the cart and get straw all over yourself and in your hair and whatever.
I don't care.
You did wind up, like, you dropped your staff just as you were about to go in the cart and you heard it clatter on the stone right next to the cart because in the cart it could have been a problem. But you are not harmed. And then you roll out of the cart and pick up your staff and charge off into the alleyway. As you are entering the alleyway, you see the albatross being chased in the opposite direction by a constable, which is basically like a police officer. And he's waving a club and the albatross is hopping off down the street. And it appears as if he's trying to chase it off or possibly kill it, but he's not keeping up with it very well.
Of course
it's not. So what do you do?
The man's crawling under the cart at the moment.
You saw him crawl under the cart. You do not currently see him.
Go around to the other side of the cart.
Okay. You dash around to the other side, staff in hand, and come face to face with a wounded assailant. You may roll for surprise.
Back in the face.
D6, don't roll a 1 or a 2.
Run into him.
3!
Okay, so neither of you are surprised. You may roll for initiative.
It would have been funny if she ran into the guy.
2!
Okay, and do you have a dex bonus?
Just a little.
No.
I thought I had a dex bonus plus 1. It's 16.
Oh, that is plus 1. One of these days you need to fix that. It's still backwards from when you originally wrote this thing.
I used to be really bad at writing sixes, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so yes. So you have plus 1, so you're at 3. And he's at 3. All right. So he's drawing a dagger, and so does not have a weapon in hand at first, but it is clear that he is drawing his dagger to try to hurt you. You may strike him first if you wish.
Yes, I smack him in the face with that.
Roll a d20 to hit.
Well, actually, the chest. I mean,
that 6. Is a lousy roll. That will miss, okay? And at the end of the round, he will return fire with his dagger.
Maybe I'm just feeling a bit tired.
And he will miss.
Good.
Okay? So the two of you dance around, smack at each other's weapons and like that. He strikes at you. You pin his dagger toward the wagon for a second, but then he twists it, slides it down, and tries to slice your hand, and you're forced to retreat back. And so the two of you begin a sort of martial dance.
Happens to us.
You have not caught up yet. They were well ahead.
Seize the window. Seize the window. Smay. Window. Woo. Rosie, like a pile of snow.
There's hate.
We're not even there yet. We're still running.
Yep. You made it to the top of the stairs. You ask them which way they went. They point you down the hall. You went down the hallway. You checked both directions. You then made it into the greenhouse. And then there was a guy in the greenhouse that said the two women went out a window on the opposite side.
I got it.
That's as far as you've gotten.
We'll go out the window.
And it's you, Smythe, Rosie, and Black.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what happened to the one guy that Black did?
He knocked him into unconscious. I'm sorry, Black is not there. That's right. He was dealing with the guards, so yeah. Black is not there. So it's the three of you, not Black. All right, and then we go to a new initiative, Ariana.
My initiative's 2.
You rolled 2, plus 1 is 3. You attacked in 3, you missed. Now roll again.
Okay.
Roll a new initiative every round.
5. That's better.
6.
Okay.
And he got better.
So you have initiative, so you may attempt to strike him with your staff. Do better.
Okay. 15.
That is better. That'll hit. Roll a d6. Any bonuses to your staff?
4. No. It's just a normal back staff.
Okay. So you do 4 points of damage. All right. So the two of you strike and slice and at each other, and then he extends himself with a dagger at one point, and you strike him on the top of the arm, just below the elbow, with the staff. And it's at least a nasty bruise. Yes. He did not drop the dagger, however. But he looks more than a little bit surprised to be getting beat up by a girl.
That's how the one guy did happen, right?
Well, both of you look pretty lightweight for how much damage you can deal.
Little.
Okay.
Don't mess with us.
It's a song from Veggie Tales.
Anna.
With David, when the P was David.
Yeah. Tales of Veggie.
Okay. He attempts to return fire with the dagger, and he'll miss.
Yay.
He sucks.
Initiative.
Roll D6 again. Wow.
It's also a
You're very... the one that's going to be complaining we don't have enough time when we're done. Okay. He has initiative. He strikes at you with the dagger. He misses again.
You suck.
Thank you. It's a one-hit kill, so little...
I don't know that that's true, but anyway.
I'm going to try to hit him.
It was for that one guy.
Three.
That's a miss.
That's less than my total
miss. Roll initiative.
It wasn't that one guy stabbed him, but she wasn't there.
Okay, six.
So seven.
Okay, so you have initiative. Okay, at this point in time, you guys are at the window. You do not see any signs. Well, let me check one thing. Give it a 2 in 6 chance. No. So you do not see any signs of who they were chasing or the ladies at all.
Awesome.
The only thing you see that's even a little out of place is roll D20. Let me check to see if you would spot it.
Oh, 13.
What is it?
13.
And what is your wisdom, 13?
Yes.
Okay, so you notice that there is a cart in the alleyway that you're looking on the alleyway. It's on the opposite side of the alleyway, and a bunch of the straw has been spilled out newly onto the ground. It looks like it's pretty new.
I would jump out.
Okay, so you go out the window onto the ledge. That's pretty easy. Now, bear in mind, you're in armor.
Yep.
So that's going to make it even harder to
yep.
navigate the ledge. Okay, so you move toward the window to go out, and he says, let Rosie go first. Rosie goes,
huh?
Because she can just make a mattress if somebody fails.
He doesn't necessarily know that, but she is thin and petite and fairly dexterous. So big bulky men in armor would just slow her down.
It's true.
All right, so she steps out the window, and she says, I'm coming, Selena. And she...
Don't be scared. We fought way more terrifying things than a window.
Just make a mattress.
She says, that's easy for you to say. And then she turns and...
It's a window.
Plods. It's a 10-inch wide ledge, 20 feet off the ground.
That's true. She still had to get up.
Okay. Anyway, she runs along the ledge, and she seems to be, like, navigating it very well.
Happy.
At least as well as you can, if not better.
Happy,
okay?
She's probably...
Go ahead.
All right, I go.
All right, you go out.
Very careful.
And then he is climbing out the window behind you. As you start down that ledge, see Rosie has reached the corner.
Rosie, jump into the straw.
Are you crazy? It's like 15 feet.
Am I behind her at this point?
No, you're approaching. Okay. She says, I got this. I think I see Selena. And then she turns around the corner and you hear a couple quick footsteps and then you don't hear anything more from her after that. Okay, at which point in time you arrive at the corner, and when you arrive at the corner, you see Rosie just drifting to a stop in front of a parked wagon. And hold on, roll D20.
5.
Okay, you catch a glimpse of what you think is Selena's staff above the wagon in the back. You don't see the actual fight, but you see like a staff kind of go in a circle.
Oh.
Okay. And Rosie is drifting down, and you see that she has silvery wings, and then as she hits the ground, the wings disappear, and a yellow butterfly swirls around her head and follows above her shoulder.
Woo!
Okay. All right. So you can climb down the rain spout, which will take a full minute. You can jump into the wagon, but it's 15 feet, and you are in heavy armor.
That's
true. So you could miss the wagon. It is entirely possible.
Throw me!
Okay. So he's coming. He's not actually to the corner yet. You make the decision of what you're doing.
I'm jumping!
Yeah, jump for the wagon. Okay. So you have to make a dex check at half to land in the straw. So that means you need a 8 or less to land in the straw.
D20.
Ah. 4. Yes! Okay. I'm not gonna make it, I'm not gonna make it! And then you go, and the straw goes up.
Did you see the straw?
He comes around and sees a giant pedal.
And the wagon goes, and it hits the ground as the axle breaks, and the far side of the wall of the cart caves over, and you rolled over and slam into the wall on the outside of the wagon.
Not my fault.
So gonna be your new, that's your new battle cry. Not my fault.
Not my fault.
The merch is dead. It's not my fault. The wagon's broke. It's not my fault. Okay.
Okay, the wagon might be my...
And you do take 1 point of damage.
I'm at 31. I'll be fine. Yep. I'm at 30.
Okay. And you flop over and roll onto the ground. And roll even odd. Even his face up, odd is on your back.
If he ever goes into battle, it's not my fault!
Right, so your face down. So... yep, you push yourself up.
Run!
You didn't have any weapons in hand.
No.
You have your shield. Okay. Roll a save versus normal blow for your shield to make sure it didn't break, get dented, or whatever. So it's D20. You want a high number.
17.
No problem. Okay, so the shield is fine.
How come when you say I want a high number, I roll a high number? When you roll a low number, I roll a low number.
Take it.
I'll take it.
Enjoy it while you can get it.
Unlike Tommy.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. I'm gonna see if I have a sound effect for Knight exploding into the back of a straw-filled wagon. I'm pretty sure I don't have that. Nope, nothing like it. Let's just do this.
Knight jumping.
Knight jumping. Like, I'm pretty sure we don't have knight jumping either.
Huh? I'm not gonna make it. I'm not gonna make it. I made it. I made it.
Okay.
That was Rosie's magic.
No, Rosie's.
That's fine.
Rosie's magic doesn't make sound.
I'm sure illusions don't make sound either.
I mean, they do. They make it to be higher level spells.
Well,
she can make sound without visual components, or she can make visual without sound, but she can't be both at the same time right now.
I'll get up and I'll run towards the wagon.
Okay, hold on right there, because now you're around ahead of her. All right, so you're climbing up out of the wagon, plus Rose is coming to help, but you have to survive a whole nother round before they get here.
Slide
the wagon. Did you roll a new initiative this time?
No.
Gotta roll again, right?
Initiative 2.
Okay, so he beats you on initiative. He attacks with the dagger. He hit, finally.
No!
No! No! Can I block?
Save versus poison. You are automatically assumed to be attempting to block. That's figured in the hit roll. You win the roll equal
this?
To or greater than your poison save.
This?
It's a d20. All saves are on a d20. I've been playing this game for months. Like 2.5 years.
10.
Okay, so your save versus poison is...
Hopefully better than mine. That's 16.
16.
Oh, wow.
That would tell.
All right, so you failed your save versus poison.
No!
So you take an additional 10 points of damage. So you take 11 total.
How much hit points are you at?
I have 15 hit points.
So now you have 4.
I'm at 30 because
I
jumped.
And you may attack
him
back. Basically, he slashed you across your belly just above your hip. And right away you feel kind of sick, like you're going to throw up.
Minus 11.
Don't throw up.
Okay. And you may roll the hit.
Dude, I don't like you. 3.
I love the fact that, Dave was like, I'm not gonna make it.
Yep.
The whole way down.
And then the whole wagon destroyed.
Alright, so then we go to a new round. So now it's initiative for you and Rosie, because Rosie's joining in, and the guy that you're fighting. You will roll initiative as well. However, you will have -4 on your initiative, and if you get 0 or below, you will not act this round.
Okay.
So you're going to go and... You have 6 total. That's a 5. No dex bonus. So 5 minus 1 is... So you're going 1.
Ah.
You'll act in 1.
That's okay.
So he is coming.
Yeah!
Alright, roll your initiative.
Why have you stolen?
I broke a wagon. Not my fault.
15!
Slow. I'm wearing heavy armor. You're
bad!
Okay.
You guys have no armor.
So he has initiative. And he is going to try to... Let's see.
Attack Rosie. She came up from the post.
Okay.
She didn't know Rosie's there.
Nice. Okay. So he throws something. He's got his dagger in his right hand. He throws something down on the ground in front of you. And explodes in white powder that fills the area. And you can't see normally, but you can just make out his heat signature with your improvision.
Can I step away, step back, so I can make sure you don't hit me?
Well, it didn't hit you. I mean, so if in case he keeps attacking.
Yeah.
Roll d20.
14.
Okay, you're pretty sure it's an escaping type thing, not an attacking type thing. you guess that he feels like he's outnumbered now, and so he's trying to run.
The bird comes back out of nowhere.
I'm going to follow him.
I mean, you can attack him for free if he tries to run, because you can still pretty
if he tries to run, I'm attacking him.
Okay. All right.
Hit the bird
so
up out of nowhere.
He is trying to run, and so you can roll to hit, and you will get plus 2 on your dice.
Rips him.
Nine.
So that'll hit. So roll your d6.
2.
Okay, and then give him a dex check. All right. And then Rosie is acting.
Rosie goes to bed. She's not.
It's a bit of a problem.
Isn't she human?
No, Rosie's elven.
She's elven. Okay. Okay. All right. And so you strike at him. You do clip him, and you realize he was obviously moving away. You think, like, you hit his hand or his forearm behind his back as he had twisted away. You can't fully see him, but you can kind of see his outline from the heat. And he had turned and started to run, and you think you hit, like, his hand or his arm. And he actually dropped his dagger, so you heard something hit the ground. Okay? And then Rosie motions with her hand, and the yellow butterfly that's, like, flopping above her shoulder shoots off into the fog. You don't see it. Like, once it goes in the fog, you can't see it. The heat signature is not enough or whatever. Or maybe it's not really there. But in any case, it shoots into the fog, and then you hear, like, a sickening thud, like a rock hitting flesh.
Check out Amal Dan Inc. for incredible opportunities to support the ministry.
Okay, that's not good. There's absolutely nothing on that screen.
Where is that coming from? Is the butterfly just turned into a rock and hit him?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then I assume you're following up on him after you struck at him as well. She's not. So you're coming in front of Rosie. But you'll be behind Selena because the arrow is a single file behind the wagon, okay?
At some point, I want to grab his dad.
I'll take it.
Okay. Well, at the moment, it's on the ground in the white powder, and so someone would have to search for it. You probably wouldn't even know it was there.
No.
So, but you're more worried about him getting away, I think, at the moment, right? All right, so you charge through the fog at him. As you come out the other side of the fog, you see him. He is laying unconscious against the wall. Think that between the staff hit and the rock that hit him, it was enough, and he got knocked out.
Okay. I'm gonna check his pulse with my
heel. Okay, roll his line. I said you come up on him as well. The two of them are not real physical,
17.
So if he's not unconscious, standing there would be.
I would do better.
Okay, you think he is alive but unconscious. He is bleeding pretty badly from
the... I can call him over there, and then if they heal him, they can find out about him if there's more.
Yep.
Okay. They have to
all right. And so you come up, and as you are standing over top of him, she's checking him. Rosie's kind of like lingering in the background. Smythe comes jogging up. And as you look, you see... So the end of this alleyway, there is a stone wall. It's like a boxing courtyard, basically. And there's a high arch that's like 20 feet high. And then there's a wall wide enough for you to walk on top, and there's a couple of guards on top of it. And across in front of that archway, you see a large white bird, like an albatross, run across in front of the opening, and you see a constable chasing it with a club.
Still?
Okay. We'll stop there. So you have successfully, theoretically, captured the crossbow-firing assailant. So roll d20, just make sure you can find it.
Shouldn't the dust be, like, disappearing?
Yeah, it is.
2.
Okay, no problem. Yep, so you search for it and find it. There are constables in the area, and Smythe suggests that you pick the unconscious guy up. bandages wounds enough, he's not bleeding to death. Pick him up and get him in the carriage quickly so you can get out of here before the constables ask him any questions.
The constables, the guards.
What are they gonna do about me? I'm at 4 hit points and I'm bleeding.
You have a minor heal.
You're not bleeding. First of all, someone needs to do healing on you.
Other healing.
And then that'll be a little better, but you're not gonna be back to full hit points unless you get magical healing, probably. Okay, so we're gonna stop there. You have successfully located one of the assassins who are attempting to take out the guild that you're helping.
I'll trade you my dagger.